Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on NoVam Radio. How you doing? Did you have a fun day? Everything okay? Huh? How about that stock market? It's up one day, it's down the next. It's up one day, it's down the next. We have quite a bit for you in the program tonight. In a few minutes, we're going to have some of the Q&A from Keith Olbermann and Barack Obama from last night. There was some more tonight, but we have last night's, which is a clear indication the Malloy program is on top of it. Also, some more about Palin and the Republican ticket and an opinion, excuse me, as to why the Republicans are going to win the election, the presidential election. It's going to be President McCain and Vice President Palin. There's several reasons for that. We'll get to it in a second. It's not my idea, but I'll share it with you. Something occurred to me today, and I'm as responsible for this as anybody in radio, pointing out the insanity that is Sarah Palin's church, the absolute madness that goes on in there. Does nothing to convince her supporters or the undecideds or the general population in America to abandon her candidacy. In fact, pointing this stuff out strengthens the conviction of the Bible believers. And there's a reason for it, of course. The economy is tanking. Things are really getting nervous around the globe. There's an awful lot of potential right now for some real disasters if somebody makes a wrong move. That somebody may be the Bush crime family or the McCain crime family, or I don't know, but it could also be a foreign head of state. But when things get this unsettled and this scary and this spooky, people immediately, you know, start dragging out the bones and the hair and the bag of roots and the incantations and the Bibles and all this other nonsense. Rather than address the problems, rather than trying to find a solution, a rational solution to the problems that we're faced with, a lot of people just say, oh, well, it's time to turn it over to God. You know, let go, let God. Oh, please. So that's what's going on. And the crazier it sounds to a rationalist, the crazier the comments coming out of Sarah Palin's church and the position of that church and her position, her religious fundamentalism, which is so far out of the mainstream as to render her part of a cult. But to a rationalist, all of this stuff is like, oh, my God, run, get away from her. But you'll notice something. People are running to her. They're not running to McCain. They're running to her. McCain, I don't know McCain's religious beliefs. I really don't care. I frankly wish I didn't know any politician's religious beliefs, and I wouldn't except for the ones who push my face into them or push them into my face or ears or eyes or whatever. Now, having said that, as the expression goes, I'm going to be pointing out some of the things that are extremely incendiary and crazy about Sarah Palin's church, knowing full well that if any right-wing mouth breather or fundamentalist happens to be skating past the program tonight and gets snagged because they hear me talking about space spooks and stuff like that, you know, the great Harry Thunderer up there who says, I think I'll kill 30 million people today. They may stop and listen for a moment, and if they hear me going on, they'll say, that's right, Malloy, you can go straight to hell, which is where you're going. Sarah Palin and Jesus are going to save us. So that's kind of where we're at. That's one of the reasons I kind of agree with the point of view that this election is already lost to Democrats. The Republicans are going to win it. Before we get to that, CNN is reporting the rate of suicide among active duty soldiers. Not people who have been out for 6 months or a year and the full impact of PTSD slams them in the back of the head. No, 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 no. The rate of suicide among active duty soldiers is about to surpass both last year's numbers of suicides among active duty soldiers and the rate of suicide in the general U.S. population for the first time since the Vietnam War. And that's according to U.S. Army officials. As of August, 62 active duty Army soldiers have committed suicide and 31 cases of possible suicide remain under investigation, according to Army statistics. Army officials said that if the trend continues this year, it will pass the nation's suicide rate of 19.5 people committing suicide per 100,000. That's a figure from 2005, and it's considered the most recent statistic available. Army officials said the rise can be attributed to the increased pace of combat operations, the number of deployments, and financial and family troubles connected with those deployments. Secretary of the Army, Pete Guerin, said, quote, Army leaders are fully aware that repeated deployments have led to increased distress and anxiety for both soldiers and their families. This stress on the force is validated by recent studies of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans reporting symptoms of PTSD or major depression, end quote. According to the Veterans Administration, about 46 of 100,000 males between the ages of 18 and 29 utilizing VA services committed suicide in 2006, compared with 27 the year before, almost doubled. Well, this is really, really bad stuff, because the people committing suicide are between the ages of 18 and 29. This is one of those chapters of the war story that just isn't told. Actually, nothing is told to the American people about what happens in war. The Cheney, Bush, Rove crime family made it very clear. No pictures, no acknowledgement, nothing. They send a select number of volunteers to the military, not volunteers to combat, off to die. And when they come home to be buried, no one is supposed to know except the immediate family. That keeps everything sanitized for the rest of the American public. It keeps us unaware. It keeps us uninvolved. It keeps our hands clean. The Veterans Administration has said that the rise in suicides can be directly connected to the increase in veterans coming from both wars since 2001. So they're going to do some studies. In the meantime, these young soldiers will continue to commit suicide at a rate higher than the rate of the general population in the country. Now, I can certainly hear someone out there say, well, Mike, what do you expect? The general population of the United States is not involved in urban combat. That's very true. That's very true. But these numbers now are the highest since the Vietnam era. Do you understand how long ago that was? So add to what's the number of dead in Iraq now and Afghanistan, American dead, since we don't count the other dead people. What are we up to? We up to 4,500 yet? 5,000 American dead? Of course, that doesn't include the suicides, because they're not considered combat deaths. We're in a world of hurt, truth seekers. We really are.
I was crying, lost in a lost world. So many people are dying.
Past the hour. Email from email from somebody. Why McCain will win. These are the reasons the writer writes why I think McCain will win the election. One, racism. Need I say more? Two, lies and smears against Obama. It worked before, it will work again. Three, illegal purges of voter rolls. It was done before, it's being done now. And four, stealing of votes because of electronic voting machines. The above plus the insane stupidity of the majority electorate will lead to the two candidates in a dead heat following the flipping of the election using the voting machines. It's insane practically to make predictions, but regarding the outcome of an election, but I have a feeling this one, if you're a Democrat, this one is lost, which is not to say don't go vote. Don't send me an email and tell me I'm being negative and all this other horse crap. You know, we are trying to take a look at facts here. I'll get to the voter suppression thing here or the election fraud thing. Well, voter suppression, election fraud, it's all pretty much the same in a moment. Oliver North is in the news again. Thanks to thinkprogress.org, or none of us would have known about this. Now, you remember that August 22nd attack in Azizabad, Afghanistan, that killed anywhere from 90 to over 100 civilians, the attack by the U.S. military. And, of course, U.S. Military denied constantly, on several occasions, despite the fact that Afghan witnesses and the UN and human rights organizations and Afghan family, tribal members, international officials, everybody else was saying approximately 90 civilians were killed. Yesterday, the military reversed course, remember, and requested an investigation into the strike in light of what it called emerging evidence. Now, part of that evidence were the cell phone images that were broadcast on American TV in a very censored form. They were broadcast on television news reports in the European and Asian and Arabic world without all the caveats. It was just there it was. But those images, cell phone images showing at least 11 dead children. Now, the Times of London revealed that the U.S. had been relying, U.S. military had been relying on accounts from of how many people died from Oliver North, who now works for Fox News. The U.S. military had said that the numbers were corroborated by an independent journalist embedded with U.S. force, and he was named as the Fox News correspondent Oliver North. Oliver North was convicted of lying. His conviction was overturned when it went up for appeal because the lying he did before Congress occurred in the course of his giving immunized testimony. Therefore, he could lie, he could urinate all over the table, he could shoot somebody at the podium and probably get away with it because his testimony was immunized, you see. Oliver North is a criminal. He was a central figure in the Iran-Contra murder scheme under Ronald Reagan. You know, if you don't know about Oliver North, consider yourself fortunate. He's a traitor. He should have been dishonorably discharged from the Marine Corps. He's brought disgrace not just to the Marine Corps but also the U.S. Navy. This guy is an absolute traitor, a criminal, and a coward. He also traded with the enemy. He was the one that set up the deal to provide the Iranians with TOW missiles so he could take the money and buy weapons against the law, American law, the Bolin Act, for the thugs that were being trained by the CIA as a counter-revolutionary force in Nicaragua back in the 80s. The so-called Contras were nothing but a CIA operation. Oliver North is a criminal and a traitor and a liar, violated his oath as an officer, brought disgrace not just to the Marine Corps and the U.S. Navy, but also to this country. So Oliver North has been the source who constantly was telling the media, no, only 7 people were killed, and they were insurgents. And now it turns out that Oliver North, well, as I just said, he was the source of all that. So the Army has ordered an investigation, and what they will find is that, yes, at least 90 civilians were killed. Yes, at least 60 of them were children. Yes, we're really sorry that happened. Yes, in the confusion of battle. Yes, we try to be very careful about collateral damage. Yes, we understand that, you know, it's bad to kill civilians. Yes, we'll compensate the families. $1,500 a kid seems fair.
I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Court and gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah aboard a nuclear warship if he dies and wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some waste dump in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do, and I'm sick of you.
All America is sad when one of our soldiers loses life. On the other hand, I think most Americans understand the cause is important and the cause is just.
Well, then 60 dead children is nothing, absolutely nothing. Keith Olbermann is now blocked by Comcast, the cable system that is owned by right-wing neo-Nazis. New York Times reported on this. Bill in Beaverton, Oregon, sent this in, though. Mike, I'm steaming mad. Comcast has blocked Keith Olbermann. Probably will block Rachel's program, too. First, they moved way down the channel list and made it a premium, which we had to pay. No problem. Now the freaking Republicans have blocked it altogether. What's next? Maybe we should move to Russia and be done with it. I hope you can say something about this crap on your show. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that, but yeah, Olbermann is being, I would guess that Olbermann will probably be off of MSNBC fairly quickly. He is extremely pissed, and he has something scheduled for tomorrow night or Thursday night, 8 o'clock, as soon as he goes on the air, 8 p.m. Eastern, a special comment, and I'm not sure what's up, but I think Olbermann is going to be history. The media in this country, mainstream media, of which I'm not a part, does not like outspokenness to the extent that Keith Olbermann, or for that matter, Chris Matthews, during the two conventions, the outspokenness to the extent that Olbermann has been displaying it on MSNBC. The corporate masters are getting a little bit nervous, and they're being told by the right wing in this country to get rid of Obermann. Do it now. Do it with as much finesse as you can, but get rid of him. So watch for it to happen fairly quickly. Speaking of Obermann, last night Barack Obama was interviewed by Keith Obermann, and again tonight, with all the lies the McCain-Palin camp are spewing, why isn't anybody calling a lie a lie? I've got an example for you coming up here in a couple of minutes, but from McCain's national campaign spokesman, I think it was Tucker Bounds. We'll have it for you in a second. But from last night, Obermann says to Obama about the new McCain-Palin ad. This is what the ad says. He fights pork barrel spending. She stopped the bridge to nowhere. Which is a lie. As late as October 2006, Mrs. Palin, Obermann says, insisted to voters in Alaska that not only would she defend that infamous bridge, but she also said, and here's the quote, quote, she would not allow the spinmeisters to turn this project or any other into something that's so negative, end quote. And Governor Palin hired a lobbyist to get earmarks to the tune of $27 million for a 6,000-person town. You said, Senator Obama, that they're not telling the truth here, but when the stuff is a gross distortion, whether it's about their own positions or yours, or facts in your history or whatever, what can you do about it? And why do people hesitate, Senator, to use the word lie about these things?
We have been very clear about the fact that this argument John McCain and Sarah Palin are making, that they're agents of change, just won't fly. It defies their history and their background. And we saw it in the convention, that they wouldn't talk about the basic issues that are really going to make a difference in the lives of middle-class families. So, you know, I'm happy to have legitimate policy debates with them on where we want to take health care, what we want to do about energy, what we want to do about education, what are we going to do about the war in Iraq. But, you know, for them to run an ad that basically doesn't present an accurate record of their positions on issues, I think should raise some questions about how they would approach an administration.
Okay, what you're listening to is the reason the Democratic Party has lost the election. Do you understand that? He says, you know, I'm happy to have legitimate policy debates with them on where we want to take health care, blah, blah, blah. Senator Obama, with all due respect, because you're a much smarter man than I am, you are not going to get a legitimate policy debate with anybody in the Republican Party. You might as well give it up, pal. Forget about it. It's not going to happen. For a number of reasons, not the least of which, Karl Rove's people who now run McCain-Palin campaign understand how stupid we Americans are. Senator Obama, you're way too smart. And America hates smart. And they're not very fond of people of color either. So what you need to do, Senator, is to climb down off of that rhetorical mumble-jumble peg you're on and start calling these sons of bitches what they are. Goddamn liars. Go ahead, Senator Obama. Do it one time. Don't say they don't present an accurate record of their position on issues. Don't say that. You don't have to use the cuss word if you don't want to, but call them liars. You're not going to do that, are you? Okay. Then why don't you just stop your campaign? Because you're not going to win. You are not going to win, Senator. Now, is Brock fighting back hard enough against the neocon lies and distortions? Should he get tougher, angrier? Obermann asked the following question last night. To something from your own convention, maybe the most compelling moment of your acceptance speech in Denver, was that one strongly voiced word, enough. A lot of people who have felt angry about what has been done to this country in the last 7 or 8 years have that same sense of urgency and simplicity. Have you thought of using on the campaign trail and in your speaking engagements more exclamation points? Have you thought of getting angrier?
Well, I tell you what, with 2 months to go, I think everybody needs to feel a sense of urgency. When I hear John McCain suggest that he's going to bring about change, I am reminded of the cartoon that Tom Tolles did in the Washington Post, where he has McCain say, watch out, George Bush, with the exception of the economy, tax policy, foreign policy, health care policy, education policy,
God.
And Karl Rove politics, we're really going to shake things up in Washington. The fact of the matter is that not only has John McCain agreed with George Bush 90% of the time, this is the party that's been in charge for 8 years. And they're now trying to run against themselves, despite a few months ago having argued that John McCain saying that, listen, I've been supportive of George Bush, boasting about it. Hey, I said, I think, on Saturday in Indiana, the American people aren't stupid. They are going to get it, but we've got to make sure that we are being clear, not only that they will not bring about change, but the very specific kinds of changes we want to bring in terms of green technology jobs in America, investing in our education system, making college more affordable, making health care accessible to every American. That contrast, if we go into November with that contrast on the minds of the American people, I think we're going to do well.
What? What did you just say, Senator? First of all, Oberman did not ask you about a sense of urgency. He asked you, have you thought about getting angry? Are you capable of that, Senator Obama? Because these people are walking all over you. Karl Rove, John McCain, John McCain's staff, and this twit that they have picked out of the wilds of Alaska are stomping your campaign into the dirt. Are you aware of that, Senator? Are you aware? You're reminded of the cartoon that Tom Tolles did in the Washington Post? Well, good for you, Senator. I'm familiar with that cartoon because I happen to be in the media business and I happen to see it. But do you really believe that when you sit there on Oberman's program and talk about that, or talk about it any place, that more than 25 people are going to connect to what you're saying? Don't you think that constantly repeating that McCain voted with George Bush 90% of the time has lost its effectiveness? It's gone. Nobody gives a damn. You know why? Because they've stolen your argument, Senator. They've stolen your meme. They've stolen your point of view. Change now belongs to McCain and Palin, not you. You blew it, pal. Because you allowed them to continue to kick your ass. Two words for you, Senator. John Kerry. Do you understand? And when you say they're trying to run against themselves because of the miserable record of the past 8 years, you know what? They're succeeding. Have you listened to any of their campaign stops? Do you hear what these two are saying? Senator Obama, and as far as the American people aren't stupid, no, maybe not, but the American people are grossly ignorant, and we are not going to get it, not in sufficient numbers to put you in the White House, unless you get off your ass and fight.
And the anchor woman was saying, blah, blah. And I replied, bah, bah. Then I remembered, electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates your mind. Sheep led by a handful of pigs.
before the hour. All right, we have one more soundbite here from Keith Olbermann's interview with Barack Obama last night. Olbermann continues here, reminding Obama that the race has gotten closer, so obviously the American people are not convinced that the McCain-Palin camp is lying to them. Jesus. Olbermann says, clearly it must not be fully on their minds because the race is as close as it is. And nobody's burst into laughter at the latest Republican ad, at least not many Republicans have. Have the Republicans succeeded in muddying up this election? In kind of overcomplicating it so the point is not as simple as you just made it? Huh? 60 years ago, Harry Truman went out and campaigned very simply, looked out at people in trouble because of the Republican Congress at that point and the impact it had on their lives, and he said, how many more times do you have to be hit over the head till you figure out who's hitting you? I mean, Senator, has your campaign in some way not kept it that simple?
You know, we've actually been driving this point home, and I think the convention drove it home. But look, the Republicans can't govern, but they run smart campaigns. And frankly, they are not always policed by the media as effectively as they should be. I was struck with how little scrutiny some of the claims that John McCain and Sarah Palin were making, how little they were subjected to scrutiny coming out of the convention. It's our job to press the point and make the case. And, you know, I think that the Republicans have been pretty successful at working the refs during this game. But you know, I have confidence in the American people that if we just drum home the fact that the country is off course, that middle-class families are struggling. Your wages and incomes have gone down under George Bush. Under Democrats, they went up. Unemployment has gone up. Unemployment was down under Bill Clinton. If we just keep on being clear about how we are going to rebuild this economy, then I think we're going to end up winning this campaign.
Well, then you're making a fatal error because it doesn't work that way. I don't presume to suggest, Senator, that you're naive. But, gee, you sound naive. Don't you understand what you're up against? See, this is where Bart Kopp was probably right. Bart Kopp has said from the beginning that they would eat Barack Obama's lunch, as nice of a man as he is. That's why Bart Kopp at bartkopp.com, that's why he was an unqualified supporter of Hillary Clinton. His point from the beginning was the Hillary Clinton campaign never would have allowed this kind of crap to happen once they all got past the primaries. And Bart Kopp, being a great American hero, was absolutely right. And you can tell how right he was by listening to what our Senator Obama is saying and how he's answering questions. First of all, he says the Republicans can't govern, but they run smart campaigns. Well, Senator, we are not talking about governing. And you will never get there if you don't respond. And Obama says they're not always policed by the media as effectively as they should be. Really? Here's an example. Listen to this. This is Campbell Brown on where is MSNBC interviewing Tucker Bounds, John McCain's strategy chief. Listen to this.
But the context of Palin's and McCain's recent statement suggests Palin flagged the so-called Bridge to Nowhere project as wasteful spending. But that's not the tune she was singing when she was running for governor, particularly not when she was standing before the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce asking for their vote. And so we rate Palin's position as a full flop. There you have an independent website essentially saying that she's flopped on this issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, full flop, very sophisticated. I would say this, and this is the factual basis for her claim, which is it is true that early on in her political career, she saw a project in her home state of Alaska that she saw use for. But as it became more wasteful, the budget ballooned, it became a staple for wasteful spending, she said no. And she was the one that drove the nail in the coffin that killed the Bridge to Nowhere. And I also think it's worth pointing out that our opponents, Barack Obama and Joe Biden, voted in support of funding the Bridge to Nowhere.
Okay, stop it there.
It is incredible.
Stop it there. That lie, that Obama and Biden voted for the Bridge to Nowhere. WashingtonPost.com has the vote. The vote was taken October 20th, 2005, 3 years ago. That's why Tucker Bounds can get out there and tell the kind of lie. There were four Democrats who voted to go ahead and fund that bridge. By Conrad, Feingold, and Landrieu. Biden and Obama simply did not vote for that bridge. But Campbell Brown, being the complete airhead that she is, and married to, who's she married to? We talked about this, Kathy, a right-wing operative, at the end of that little piece of sound, thanks, Tucker Bounds, for coming on the air. And the lie stays there. Now, the independent website that she's referring to is politifact.com, P-O-L-I-T-I-F-A-C-T, politifact.com. They take claims made by either side and go for the truth. And if it burns the ass of the Democrats, so it burns. If it burns the ass of Republicans, so it burns. It is a goddamn lie when Tucker Bounds says that Barack Obama and Joe Biden voted for the bridge to nowhere. And who is going to correct the lie? Who? Nobody. Nobody in mainstream media. So now, all the people who watched that interview, all the so-called moderates, independents, middle-of-the-roaders, people who are still picking their nose and scratching their ass saying, well, I don't know who to vote for. I don't know about the colored guy. I'm a Democrat, but, you know, he is colored. You know, those people now are convinced that Joe Biden and Barack Obama voted for the bridge to nowhere. Who's going to correct it? Who's going to correct it? Is Brian Williams going to come out and say, by the way, a lie was put over our sister network the other night on Campbell Brown's program? Is that going to happen? Are you kidding me? But they will demote Keith Olbermann, won't they? Welcome back. It is 6:30 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on Nova M Radio. We're going to play for you now the audio portion, obviously, because this is radio. The audio portion of the new McCain ad that talks about how Barack Obama wants to provide sex education to five-year-olds. Listen to this. All right, we'll have it in just a second. Boom, be doom, be doom, boom, 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 boom. Boom, beep, boom, beep, boom, beep, boom, beep, boom.
Education Week says Obama hasn't made a significant mark on education, that he's elusive on accountability, a staunch defender of the existing public school monopoly. Obama's one accomplishment? Legislation to teach comprehensive sex education to kindergartners. Learning about sex before learning to read? Barack Obama. Wrong on education. Wrong for your family.
I mean, these sons of bitches...
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Yeah, okay, good for you, John. DGE, writing at Daily Coast, makes the obvious point here. Anyone who still believes McCain is honorable should take a look at this most recent ad slamming Obama. There's not much to say except that this is one of the sickest campaign ads in a long time, which is saying a lot. The photoshopped images are also disgusting, changing Obama's skin color and making him look like a dopey kid. And don't anyone tell me this doesn't play right into the image of the African-American man as a sexual predator. No one can say McCain is an honorable man. This is the bottom of the barrel. Well, it is indeed. Now, the truth, the criticism of Obama on sex education, according to, what am I reading here, Political Radar? Is that what this is? It's from ABC News, one of the blogs at ABC News. The criticism on Obama on sex education stems from his work in the Illinois State Senate on legislation which would have taken the state's entire sex education standards, which related to 6th through 12th grade, and applied them to all of elementary school. The legislation, which was never enacted, included an opt-out provision for parents. Obama was asked his position on sex education, and he mimicked an attack ad that was launched on him in his 2004 Senate campaign against the freakish Alan Keyes. Obama, mimicking Keyes' distinctive style of speech, said, "Barack Obama supports teaching sex education to kindergartners," which, well, I didn't know what to tell him. This reminds me of when Clinton's Secretary of Health, Education, Welfare, or whatever the hell it was called back then, what was her name? The woman who said that children should be told about masturbation. And the right wing just went absolutely crazy. Do you remember that? They want to teach masturbation in the schools! Which is not what was said. But it doesn't make any difference. And this is why Barack Obama and Joe Biden have already lost the election. Barack Obama wants to pretend as though he's in a gentleman's game. And apparently he does not have advisors. And I'm surprised Biden hasn't told him this. He's not in a gentleman's game. He's in a street fight with the most vicious, racist, filthy campaign advisor in the history of camp. This guy, Rove, makes his mentor, what was his name? Lee Atwater. Look like a choir boy. Karl Rove is a goddamn political hitman. That's all he is. And Barack Obama doesn't realize it, but when this campaign is over, he and Michelle are going to be standing there, and holding in his hand, Barack Obama is going to have his own testicles. It's going to be that complete. Now, the legislation Obama supported also proposed teaching kindergartners about how to recognize inappropriate touching. Bill Burton, Obama's campaign press secretary, this is way too late, responded today to McCain's ad with a sharply worded statement. Burton said, quote, "It is shameful and downright perverse for the McCain campaign to use a bill that was written to protect young children from sexual predators as a recycled and discredited political attack against a father of two young girls, a position that his friend Mitt Romney also holds. Last week, John McCain told Time magazine he couldn't define what honor was. Now we know why." End quote. Well, Bill Burton, I have news for you, pal. That looks good on the ABC News blog site. But you know what? The people who are going to defeat your candidate's election efforts don't care what is on the ABC blog site. They don't care. They don't care what the truth is. Because the people who are going to vote for McCain and Palin, which will be the majority of Americans, are goddamn dumb! Stupid! They don't care! Meantime, your candidate is talking about a Tom Tolles cartoon in the Washington Post. And talking about taking the high road. And talking about how, well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff in this campaign. But, you know, I mean, we're going to stay on the issues. And the American people, Senator, the American people are not. I don't know what the end of your sentence was, but they're not going to do what you're suggesting. They're going to hand you your ass. That's what they're going to do. You're going to lose probably 48 states. Do you understand that? Kenneth in Allen, Texas writes, "Mike, the only way we can beat McCain, Palin, is to destroy them. This isn't a fight for an election. It's for our Constitution and the ideals of America. We need to stop trying to have a discussion with the Republicans. McCain and Palin has to be ground in political dust. That's the only way we're going to save the country. It's them or us. It's that simple. That's what we're facing. Either we're willing to beat them once and for all and without mercy, or we're willing to let ourselves lose yet again. Except this time we'll lose a hell of a lot more than a presidential election. A whole lot more. Otherwise, I guess we'd better get used to saying President McCain And then 6 or 8 months after his inauguration, President Palin. I don't even know that he's that Obama's going to get two states. Unless he figures this out. There's 2 months left. And they're painting him as a sexual predator on kindergartners. And and Obama is going to sit with Keith Olbermann and talk about a Tom Tolles cartoon in the Washington Post. Do you understand? Michael Colby, writing at Counterpunch. Guess what? The liberals are nervous. Yep. The obedient Lib Dems are finally starting to realize that the little party they were having in the immediate aftermath of the Sarah Palin selection may have been a bit premature. Whoops. Drunk on the Obama Kool-Aid, the Lib Dems have been putting together their fantasy cabinet selections, planning their election night party plans, and trying to figure out whom to meet or whom to give money to in order to get some prized inaugural dance tickets. In their minds, this presidential race was over before they could even dismantle the faux stage and their faux convention. Cue screeching car sound, as in, the rubber hitting the road. Because the polling news hasn't been good. While the Lib Dems have been blogging and pontificating themselves into a stupor over all the stupid stuff about Palin, the American people have been moving away from Obama and toward, say what? The McCain-Palin ticket. Worse, the liberal Democrats are refusing to look in the mirror while trying to come up with a reason for the Obama-Biden slip in the polls and the near derailment in its messaging. Instead, they keep hitting the whining button and doing what they hate most in their conservative counterparts, blaming the media and getting slimier and slimier with their personal attacks. Anything, in fact, but face the fact that their candidates and their party have all but abandoned the issues at the very moment when voters are beginning to ponder them. If, as political scientists like to tell us, this is the time when voters start to pay attention, consider what they're hearing from Obama and the Democratic Party. On the Iraq War, Obama was pushed into saying that the, quote, surge worked beyond anyone's wildest expectations, end quote, on the Fox News blowhard Bill O'Reilly show. Despite being an inaccurate, if not completely spineless position, it effectively handed what was the number one issue directly over to Mr. Surge himself, John McCain. On energy issues, the Democrats are in the middle of doing an about-face on offshore drilling. Instead of showing some spine and sanity in the face of the Republicans' new and scary hit chant of drill, baby, drill, the Democrats are flip-flopping, like McCain, on the issue. And according to The Hill newspaper, preparing to help pass new offshore drilling allowances. On health care, the Obama campaign continues to muddle through a confusing and all but impossible to understand so-called solution that will allow the insurance companies and the so-called market to remain in control. If it sounds a lot like the Hillary plan of 1993, well, it is. And we all know how that ended up. Sorry, but any health care plan from the Democrats that doesn't include the words universal or single payer is just a pale imitation of the Republicans' plan. In other words, not much change there. Earth to Lib Dems, this is no time to silence yourself when it comes to the issues. This is the time to stand firm, talk tough, and demand that your beloved Obama-Biden ticket listen to you. You know, kind of like the Christian right threatened to stay home unless one of their own was put on the McCain ticket. And then down came Palin. Sadly, if not completely predictable, this election is starting to look like a rerun. Oh, man. And there's more. Regarding the offshore drilling, the Republicans in the House and the Senate, unless they get their way, are threatening to shut down the government. And the Democrats, when they were faced with this,
oh, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and confirm John Roberts and Sam Alito. We'll take a stand on the next issue. Well, impeachment's off the table. Well.
Senator Obama, you can always go back to Harvard and teach.
baby, you're lost. Baby, you're lost. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. Fighting for love.
In doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project.
Never mind. Our military affairs consultant writes in, we don't know how to fight, Sharon writes. When Wes Clark tried to legitimately criticize McCain, Barack Obama and lots of other Democrats shot him down and disavowed him. Clark was willing to attack McCain on the only thing he's running on, his military experience and being a POW. Democrats always try to fight using the Duchess of Queensbury rules. Okay, it's the Marquis, I think. While the Republicans come at us with knives and baseball bats. That's right, Sharon, you're not a boxer. Duchess, no. But we love her anyway. She's a great military affairs correspondent, if not a boxer. Carol Davenport writing at Congressional Quarterly. Here's the other example of why the Democrats have lost this election. House Republicans signaled yesterday that they're ready to cut off government spending over the issue of offshore drilling. House Minority Leader John Boehner, Republican of Ohio, called a Democratic energy proposal to allow limited offshore drilling inadequate. Boehner said House Republicans would vote against a spending resolution needed to keep the government running when the new fiscal year begins October 1st unless restrictions on offshore drilling are dropped. Boehner said, quote, we're going to insist that any continuing resolution that passes does not continue the drilling ban. Now, this drilling ban, I think this has been renewed in appropriations bills since 1992. For the past 16 years, every time an appropriations bill comes up, a renewal of banning unrestricted offshore drilling has been allowed. And most recently, it was included in the fiscal 2008 omnibus spending bill. But not anymore. Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, Republican of Texas, says, quote, we have to take that moratorium away, end quote, end quote. And as Carol Davenport at Congressional Quarterly writes, the call for more offshore drilling has been a powerful election year issue for Republicans with appeal to taxpayers unhappy with higher energy prices. Chants of drill, drill filled the Republican National Convention last week. Republican bloggers and talk show hosts have attacked Republican Party members trying to negotiate a bipartisan Senate compromise. Kevin Smith, a spokesman for Boehner, said, quote, for the last 5 months, we have used this issue effectively to put Democrats on the defensive, and that's going to continue into November, end quote. Now, how did Senator Harry Reid, Democrat, the Senate Majority Leader, how did he respond to this? Here's the threat. And the Republicans make the threat because they know, once again, that Americans can't think beyond next week. And there's a whole set of reasons for that. But that this gasoline price thing and the oil price thing has been an absolute miracle for the Republicans, even though their policies caused it. It doesn't matter because we're Americans. We don't give a goddamn about reality or the truth when it comes to politics. Just put it in a 30-second soundbite for us, because that's all we're capable. Hey, did you hear Barack Obama wants to teach sex to 5-year-olds? Huh? Did you hear that? More on the threatened shutdown over drilling when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
What do you do after you've ruined your life? What do you do after you've blown the game. Cut down the size, no alibis, and you know that nothing's ever going to be the same. Do you change your ways or just go down in flames? What do you do after you've blown the game?
God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that, and we can work together to make sure God's will be done here.
That's your next president. Well, not your next president, but that's the president who will be after McCain keels over. All right, back to this article by Coral Davenport. I said Carol. It's Coral Davenport, unless I've got it misspelled. Congressional Quarterly. Now, in response to the threats by the Republican leadership in the House and the Senate to close everything down if they don't get their way, which means they will get their way, where it concerns offshore drilling, they want no restrictions, none whatsoever. And since 1992, the moratorium on offshore drilling has been included in every renewal of the major appropriations bills for the past, 16 years? And now the Republicans are saying, we will shut this place down. And they don't care. They don't care about shutting it down because they know the American people will back them. This is not like Newt Gingrich shutting down the government in 1993 because he couldn't ride in the front of Air Force One on the way back from Europe. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. This is an issue that has hurt every single American, except the wealthy ones, of course. So the American working class, the American middle class, as stupid as we are, not you, not me, but as stupid as we are, we hear the Republicans say, we need to drill, 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 drill. Yes, 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 yes. So the Republicans are going to make sure the drilling is done. The Democrats are trying to stop it. Who are the bad guys? Well, those goddamn Democrats, obviously. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Discussing about, or trying to respond to the Republicans' threat to shut everything down, said the following, let's be clear, shutting down the government means that senior citizens stop receiving checks and veterans stop receiving health care. Oh, well, that just bowls everybody over, doesn't it? Well, that's a real heart stopper, Harry. I'm sure the American people will now rally for the old people and the veterans. What old people? What veterans? What are you talking about? Harry Reid has a spokesman named Rodell Molyneux who said that Republicans are kidding themselves if they think a shutdown will help them politically. He said, quote, if Republicans want to have a debate about denying senior citizens Social Security checks and health care, that's a debate we're willing to have, end quote. You dumbass. Not only do they not want the debate will never happen. You are left standing there, Mr. Molyneux, talking to yourself. If the Republicans want a debate, what is wrong with these Democrats? What is wrong with Obama? What is wrong with Harry Reid's spokesperson? What is wrong with these people? If the Republicans want a debate, Republicans are not here to debate, you morons. They're here to kick your ass, and they're doing it. Oh, my God. So here we sit once again. Republicans still have, Democrats still have fire in the belly. We're sitting here to babble into a microphone in a radio talk show. Who in the hell is advising Barack Obama? Why isn't Paul Begala on Obama's staff? He calls him a goddamn liar. He leaves off the goddamn, but he calls him a liar. He comes right on and says it. So here we are. Here we are again. A couple of emails, and we're going to go to your phone calls, okay? This is from, who's this from? Ed. Mike, I'm so pissed after watching Keith Olbermann's interview with Obama. Obama sounded just like Kerry, appealing to the informed and the intellectuals. These people will vote for him. But what about Joe Sixpack, who needs the Democrats the most? And want to hear and see a guy who will take on the world if he has to defend the United States. We will vote for him, but I would like to see Obama slam the podium and call McCain a liar. But Democrats don't use that kind of language. Most people are watching Deal or No Deal and rely on the local news to inform them on the issues and candidates. McCain wins on lies. Yeah, he does, Ed. You're damn right he does. From Scott in Somerville, Mass. Hey, Mike, I heard Obama's campaign manager on NPR today. He was asked directly about how they will counter the rabid swift voting Obama was receiving from Palin and McCain. And this guy, who was so nondescript, I can't remember his name. This guy, he was so tepid and lame and tried to take the high road and fumbled the question so badly, I realized then and there they had lost the race. Too bad, because I don't think any of us will survive the next 4 years the way it's going now. Palin will laughingly take us to her version of Armageddon, and there ain't nothing we can do about it. Amen to that. Scott. And Susie writes in from the Real News Network. She has a quote for me. Quote, both Senators McCain and Obama have condemned Russia's military offensive in Georgia. Professor Andrei Siganov believes that, quote, Senator McCain needs national security issues to be in front of these elections to be able to win, and that Senator Obama has not established any difference on foreign policy issues from McCain and is therefore competing against McCain on McCain's terms, end quote. Right. So why didn't Barack Obama tell the truth? That the Georgians, with the encouragement of Karl Rove, Dick Cheney, and George Bush, invaded South Ossetia, a breakaway republic, murdered hundreds, if not thousands, of Russian civilians, and the Russians responded. Why? Why did Barack Obama not say that and make the case that once again we're being lied to? Dan in Culver City, California. Mike, thank you. Obama so needs to hear what you said tonight. Rope-a-dope will not work. The Republicans will not tire and punch themselves out. There will be no dramatic Democratic knockout of an exhausted Republican opponent. Republicans have lied like this for years and not even broken a sweat. Dan in Culver City, California. Justine writes, Mike, nice guys finish last. Maybe we should start throwing that phrase into Obama's face day in and day out until he gets it. The only person I've seen get bent out of shape on the air is Paul Begala, who did say in the past day that McCain and Palin are lying through their teeth. And then the media laughed at him, saying he went off half-cocked over who knows what. Yeah, there goes Paul Begala. Yeah. Justine. Bob writes, Mike. No, not Bob from Super Beans. Bob, some other Bob. Hey, Mike, I understand why you're mad. I am too, but Obama cannot express it like we do. All the Repugs need is for us to see an angry black man, and they won't even have to count the ballots. Well, I've never understood it and can't do it. A lawyer once told me that one never calls someone a liar, no matter how egregious their deceit. Plus, the branches of government are duty-bound to accord each other a certain respect. Calling a senator a liar would be a breach of protocol. It would be very unpresidential. I think our time would be better spent showing, proving, exposing that the Repugs are liars than getting angry at Obama for not dropping the decorum that he must maintain. It speaks well for him that he keeps his cool, not like that hot-headed McCain. Bob. Well, Bob, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It speaks very well. And white America may get, oh, they're bloomers in a wad if they see an angry black man. Oh, my goodness. Plus, let's not say anything nasty about Sarah because she's a delicate woman. Angry black man, delicate woman, war hero. Angry black man, delicate woman, war hero. Angry black man, delicate woman, war hero. Oh, my goodness. Aren't we screwed?
The truly frightening part to me is that nobody in America has an attention span beyond American Idol or Deal or No Deal or Who Wants to Marry My Best Friend Who Might Be Gay or whatever these reality shows are. Short, quick, effective sound bites. Barack Obama wants to teach sex to 5-year-olds.
Right.
Okay, that's what works. Not, well, we should discuss this, and I want to welcome the debates. That sounds like, you know, something you hear at Harvard.
Yeah, that's what Karl Rove is a genius at, and he is a genius. He's a murderous, sick, son-of-a-bitch, perverted genius, but he's a genius. Give the American people very simple, short sentences. The Democrats will raise your taxes. John Kerry cut and run. Barack Obama wants to teach 5-year-old sex. That's all you have to do. Why? Because Karl Rove understands, A, the media is his. B, the media will repeat this endlessly. How about the Jeremiah Wright video? What about Sarah Palin's preacher's video?
And then you need a few messages like this. I'm a hockey mom. I'm an eBay power seller. I was a mayor. I'm a PTA member.
I'm Mike Malloy. We'll be back after the break. This is Nova M.
Woke up with a heavy head and the thought about leaving town. I could have died if I wanted to. Slipped over the edge and drowned. But oh no, baby, I won't give up that easy, no.
I'm a pit bull with lipstick.
Our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God. Bless them with your prayers.
That's what we're going to wind up with. You understand that, don't you? Huh? Keith writes, Mike, I've been so pissed about the recent news, or complete lack of, about Sarah Palin, the blatant lies, and the inability for anybody to challenge any of this nonsense. But what can we do? I need to do something about it, but don't know where to start. As a standard Joe, as I am. I live in Madison, but work in Waukesha, arguably the highest population of right-wing nut jobs. If I don't volunteer or something, I'm afraid that road rage is going to get the best of me. Keith. I hear you. This is from Bill in Scottsdale. Mike, screw this being above the fray BS that Obama's campaign is trying to conduct. It's time to lay out the consequences of what damage Palin can do if and when McCain tips over because of his health. I refer again to the May 23rd document dump that McCain's camp did on his cancers, his ailments, and the medications he swallows. He's 72 freaking years old and a 5-time cancer patient, gasping old man with some Alaskan unknown bimbo waiting to carry out Jesus' mission when he checks out and really soils the Oval Office carpet. It's his health, his health, his health! Time to drive the damn point home! And through the hearts of this lying, cheating duo of sanctimonious scum. Woo! Bill! Bill in Scottsdale.
Yeah, it is kind of freaky that this race is close at all. I mean, you're looking at a Christian fundamentalist wacko like Palin, who has 5 children she can't even name properly, and one of them is questionable, and special needs kid, who she's so concerned about special needs, she tried to defund special needs in Alaska, and her big claim to fame is she's got a BA in journalism. Okay, so you got this versus Barack and Joe Biden, and you got insane McCain. You know, this shouldn't be close.
Well, the reason it's close...
And it's Bush politics.
The reason it's close is what we've been talking about all night. Barack Obama This is where his inexperience, the charge of his inexperience, is legit. Not in governing, but in how to run a campaign against Republicans on this level. These people are cutting him into little pieces. All this other stuff is totally superfluous. It doesn't make any difference how psychopathic Palin is, or her church, or how near death McCain might be from cancer, or how the Republicans have destroyed the country. It doesn't matter. We have never been, in the past 40 years, an issue-oriented population. I remind you of what Ronald Reagan did to this country in 1980 with his shining city on a hill nonsense. And suddenly born into the political landscape were some Dr. Moreau, island of Dr. Moreau, half human, half beast, called a Reagan Democrat. Jesus Christ, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. That was the end of the Democratic Party. Reagan Democrats. Okay. And since that election, Americans on a consistent basis have allowed political discourse in this country to be reduced to social issues that should be decided by communities, by individuals. And the big picture is gone. International relations, the economy, public health, the making public of certain key industries. It's gone. It's gone. The union movement, it's all gone. What do we talk about now? What do we talk about now? Huh? Whether or not Barack Obama or the Democratic candidate, it could be any Democrat. But whether or not that candidate wants five-year-olds to have sex education, that's what we talk about. That's not, okay, not what we talk about necessarily. That's what we respond to. The religious fanatics in this country have won a decisive victory by forcing McCain, this poor, simple-minded mass killer, John McCain, who has apparently the brain of a 16-year-old. And the religious right, who hated McCain, have succeeded in prying this poor, doddering fool's head open and stuffing into his skull a religious right fundamentalist that would make Jerry Falwell spin in his grave. And Barack Obama is going to talk about political cartoons in the Washington Post. And Barack Obama is going to agree with John McCain that the bad old Russians invaded another country. And Barack Obama is not going to talk about single-payer health care. And Barack Obama is going to drop back 10 yards and punt. And the game's over. Now, for you hardcore Democrats, and I'm still saying go vote, go vote. Hell yeah, I'm going to go vote. You're goddamn right I'm going to go vote. But the hardcore Democrats out there listening tonight, those that are still there, like so many nights on this program, you've decided Malloy's out of his mind. Goodbye. I'm out of here. Screw you, Mike. You traitor. You dumbass. Where's your hope? Where's your faith? Where's your belief? Oh, please. We went through this 4 years ago. We went through this 8 years ago. Do you remember when Al Gore laid down in front of George Bush in the Supreme Court and said, kick me, beat me, walk on me, I quit? Remember when John Kerry laid down in front of George Bush and said, kick me, beat me, walk on me, I quit? Those are Democrats. Those are Democrats, just like you. Thank you.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down for me now.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. I realize we have people on hold here, and I'm going to come to your calls in just a moment. There's a couple more emails, though, that I want to share with you. Because I don't know about other talk show programs, but I seem to get an abundance of concise, well-written, pithy, to-the-point emails. And most of them, I obviously can't read them all, but most of them are so to the point that it would be a shame not to share them with the broader listening audience. So that's why I do so many emails on this program. Before we get to those, though, rawstory.com is reporting the possibility that Barack Obama might seek to bring criminal charges against Bush or members of his administration. But last Wednesday, Biden said on Fox, Biden said, if there's been a basis upon which you can pursue someone for a criminal violation, they would be pursued, not out of vengeance, not a retribution, out of the need to preserve the notion that no one, no attorney general, no president, no one is above the law. Now, that's what he said. We quoted that last Thursday. Brian Kilmeade, one of those vacuous half-wits on Fox and Friends, raised the issue with Biden Thursday morning, asking about what he called a report that if you guys are elected, you're actually going to pursue criminal charges against President Bush's administration and different people that served there, end quote. That's what this Brian Kilmeade said to Biden. Biden's answer, that's not true. I don't know where that report's coming from. What is true is the United States Congress is trying to preserve records on questions that relate to whether or not the law has been violated by anyone. Anybody should be doing that, end quote. And then Biden emphasized that no one's talking about President Bush. I've never heard anybody mention President Bush in that context. He went on to say, quote, there's been an awful lot of unsavory stuff that's gone on, but I have no evidence of any of that. No one's talking about pursuing President Bush criminally. Jesus God. Biden was also lavish in his praise for Palin's speech at the Republican National Convention. He said on the Fox program, quote, the governor was impressive. She was strong. She was tough. And she delivered that speech extremely well. I think it's going to be a tough debate. I think she's going to be an incredibly skillful debater. I was impressed. He went on to say, I'm not going to attack her. You look at that family that she brought out last night. It was a beautiful family. Every family has difficulties in raising children. I think she has a fine family. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Say goodnight, Joe. All right, a couple of emails. This is from G. Frankie. I don't know if that's whatever. Why Barack can't get angry is the subject line. And the writer says the Republicans are waiting for Obama to react angrily to their lies. It's what they want, so they can portray him as, quote, the angry black male, end quote. They will try to scare whites with this tactic. Where are the liberal 5-7 groups that can go after McCain and fire back forcefully at him with the truth? Remember how the Republicans used those groups to derail John Kerry in 2004? Liberal groups need to be able to act independently of the Obama campaign to get commercials blasting McCain on primetime television. I know this won't be easy, given the sad state of media these days. Every progressive Democrat that can get on television should be calling McCain out. It's crucial that we get the truth about McCain and the Republicans out to as many people as possible, and then we can be angry. Well, yeah, okay. But in the meantime, you know, I doubt if the letter writer, emailer here, has the money for a 527 ad. I damn sure don't. Cash writes, Mike, I'm sorry I had to hang out. Oh, I guess he was on hold. What is wrong with the Democrats? I've been so naive till now. I'm a president of the College Democrats chapter at Texas A&M. I'm a candidate for Electoral College for the Democrats this year. What are they doing? Why do they hand over elections like this? It's not just the polls, Mike. It's this bend-over mentality. It's not being able to frame a message of simplicity to, dare I say it, to idiots. Why do they have to spend time complicating sex education while Republicans are easily spreading the message of drill, baby, drill? How about our future, our present state? How freaking hard is this to frame a simple message? The Republicans will win after 8 years of Bush. I hate to say this, but because of the Democrats, what choice do we have left? What say do we have in the matter? I feel that perhaps you understand what I might be trying to say here. The Republicans are flushing the toilet on this country, and Democrats are swimming into it by choice. What will be left after this mess has ensued? Our deaths? Our history? No, just a sign that reads, "Here stood those who followed the klutz into the end of reality." I don't know what to think. I'm out of focus, and darn these cowards. Darn my party. Sincerely, Cash. Boy, do I hear that frustration. Mike, I remain, this is from Jim in Tempe. Mike, I remain cautiously optimistic that in the end Obama is going to win this thing. I say that because it's obvious to me that the McCain-Palin ticket is hitting its peak right now. But sooner, rather than later, Palin will have to appear on the Sunday morning talk shows in her debate with Biden, where she will have to articulate just what her positions are on the actual issues. And when people start to realize what a crazy right-wing extremist she is, the enthusiasm for her will start dropping. I would also like to see Obama and Biden be much more aggressive on the campaign trail, but maybe they know what they, that they should, by all accounts, easily trounce McCain and Palin in the debates, which are expected to draw huge ratings. After the first couple of debates, Obama-Biden should have a clear lead, but if they don't, for whatever reason, then you will see them become much more aggressive. Jim in Tempe, Jim, you've got a false argument here. Palin will have to appear on the Sunday morning talk shows and her debate with Biden, where she will have to articulate what her positions are on the actual issues. And you write, and then people, and when people start to realize what a crazy right wing extremist she is, who's going to question her, Jim? Biden will not, for fear of being accused of being anti-Jesus or anti-Christian or anti-God or whatever. Whoever handles the questions will not, for fear of upsetting corporate media. Sarah Palin gets a pass on her religious fanaticism, whereas Barack Obama, who had nothing to do with Jeremiah Wright, but he was crucified, and I'm using the term deliberately, by the constant running of that looped Jeremiah Wright tape. Why is nobody running loops of Sarah Palin except on this goddamn program right here? Play one, Kathy. Pull up one of those Sarah Palin things that should be on every single television talk show in the country, just like they did to Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright. Go ahead, play something.
Doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project that's going to create a lot of jobs for Alaskans, and we'll have a lot of energy flowing through here. And pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Okay. Why is that not played over and over? Where do you hear that? Where do you hear that bit of audio? Huh?
And this is what I want to pray over you guys, too, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And that spirit of revelation also, including that spirit of prophecy, that God's going to tell you what is going on and what is going to go on. And you guys are going to have that within you, and it's just going to bubble up and bubble over, and it's going to pour out throughout the state of Alaska.
Oh Jesus, why, you know, are you hearing this on MSNBC, on CNN, on ABC, CBS, NBC? Are you hearing it over and over and over and over again? And there's so much more of this. We have 1,000 of these pissy ass religious fanatic sound bites right out of Sarah Palin's mouth. Where are you hearing them? Where? Oh, never mind. But if you think somebody handling the debates is going to bring up these kinds of issues, Jim, you're mistaken.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opening me to the feet I have.
From this church, I think has great destiny. You guys are all a bunch of cool-looking Christians also. I just want to bless you. And
well, thank you for the blessing, you little tight-ass demon, you. One more here. No, two more. And then to your phone calls. This is from Robert, who writes, Mike, Obama is passive-aggressive without the aggressive. The McCain-Karl Rove team undoubtedly knew it would be difficult for a man never in the military to harshly criticize the POW. Being a black man makes it even tougher. The McCain-Rove team undoubtedly knew that picking a quirky, good-looking woman as a novelty act from Alaska would give them the best of both worlds. She could both play the usual vice president attack dog role, even making it explicit by calling herself a pit bull, launching snide, sarcastic comments strung together, and have it be called a brilliant speech when it was really just a string of insults. And at the same time, she could be practically immune from the mildest criticism herself by playing the woman card as deftly as McCain plays his dog-eared POW card. In the reality show jargon, they've both got immunity. And as on the TV show Survivor, remember, lies and fake alliances are a perfectly permissible part of the game. And those like Obama and John Kerry, who chose to limit their chances for victory by being perfectly honest and reasonable, will be voted off the island. The McCain-Palin lies are many. The fake alliances with the working class will disappear on November 5th, but will have served their purpose. Robert.
I heard on NPR today when I was driving around that her own pastor of the psycho church said that, of course, she would use God in Washington, D.C. to influence her decisions in foreign policy because that's part of her makeup.
Yeah, that's great. Mike, I was watching Keith Olbermann's program yesterday where he showed Sarah Palin asking people in the church to pray for a pipeline. I am originally from India, and as you know, most Indians, especially elderly people, are quite religious, whether they are Hindus or Muslims. I have seen some politicians over there who use religion and caste as a way to get votes, but never, never in my life have I seen a politician in India who goes into a temple or a mosque and asks people to pray for a pipeline. Or for that matter, anything as stupid as that. My wife, who was watching Olbermann's program with me, asked, did she really say that? Can this happen in an advanced country like America? Do people really listen to this kind of stuff? And I did not know what to say. I guess if someone had asked me that question 8 years ago, which is when I first came to the U.S. to study, I would have said, of course not. Today, it's a whole different story. Suman in Tempe, Arizona. My God. All right. Phone calls. Len's calling from New York, listening on the Internet. Hey, Len.
Oh, I don't know if we can get all this in before the break.
Well, you need to be quick.
While I was waiting, though, I saw Mike Halperin already on CNN starting to get very impatient about Palin not going in front of the media. So I think they're letting the media boil over first. But I was very upset if this is true, that Keith Olbermann is just being taken off of Comcast. Anyway, let's talk about the Ed Koch factor. Ed Koch, you remember him, right?
Sure. Absolutely. Mayor. Yeah.
He came out today for Obama because he said this Palin woman scares the hell out of him.
Well, good for Koch. Palin should scare the hell out of anybody.
Do you ever go to a timeshare sale?
No.
No. So what they do is they take you in for about an hour and a half, talk to you very nicely, show you all around the place. Then they sit you down and try to get you to sign.
Right.
And at this point, we are not yet sitting down yet and actually coming up with the should I vote for him or should I vote for her. But after seeing this speech that that Obama gave, and knowing this guy and knowing the other actors here, including Biden, especially Biden, who didn't hang around waiting to sweet talk this girl, I think that they have, and I think I know part of what their strategy is for the debates. And again, you're talking about losing the election, and there are two ways you win or lose a fight, either on a knockout or on points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to go for the knockout.
Well, you know, I wish that were true, Len. I wish there was.
But you can't go for the knockout until you're actually in the ring.
Well, that's true. That's true. But I cannot see Joe Biden or Barack Obama going for the knockout for one simple reason. Sarah Palin is a woman, and she is a very delicate woman, even though she paints herself as a hockey mom or a pit bull or whatever the hell she paints herself. The media will climb down the throats and up the ass of any man, white or black, who dares attack Sarah Palin, her positions, because she is a good Christian woman trying to raise children, one of whom is a so-called special needs child. How dare you attack this lovely, believing, God-fearing woman? You get my point.
And good things in store for the state of Alaska. Let us pray for God's will to be done here. Just, you know, praying for an outpouring of God's Spirit here, that revival to be here in Alaska.
It's 25 before the hour. Correction, earlier tonight, I couldn't remember the person who, in the Clinton administration, who talked about the necessity of teaching children about, in elementary school, about masturbation, what it was all about. It was Jocelyn Elders, and she was the Surgeon General. I said Department of Human Services or HEW, whatever it was back in the Clinton years, but it was Jocelyn Elders, Surgeon General. LaShonda is calling from Austin, Texas, listening on the Internet. Hey, LaShonda.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How's everything in Austin?
Everything is all right. I took a break from the news for the summer. I couldn't deal with it.
I hear you.
It's every summer I just have to get away from it because it bothers me really, really bad.
I know.
And I've got high blood pressure, and I don't need no more drama, so. But the reason I'm calling is I got to talk about Obama and the lady from Alaska, this whole mess with the campaign. Oh, Obama, I feel you, what you're saying, Mike. Obama really does need to step up, but it's like a really fine line that he's going to have to walk, you know, because like you were, I think one of your other emailers said something like, you know, you don't want to see the angry black man, and that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
So they could be like, see, I knew he was ghetto trash.
But that's how they do it. But don't you think that Barack Obama would be able to project his anger and absolutely destroy the so-called stereotype? This guy is not Stokely Carmichael. He is not H. Rat Brown. And I don't even know if he's all that angry. But he should be angry about what they're saying about him. And I believe that Barack Obama has the ability, the capacity, to present his anger to the American public about this nonsense without coming across that way. And if not Barack, then where's this white partner? Where's Joe Biden?
That's what I was thinking. You know, I'm like, so what's up with Biden? You need to wake up and get on your J-O-B because you need to get out there and get at the white lady. You know, Joe Biden can get away with it more than Barack Obama could.
That's you know? True.
He could say some stuff about her, and then it wouldn't be perceived as, oh, look, you know, the white man's dumping on the white woman. It'd be just like Joe Biden's being Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but with Obama, it's just really, really tricky. And trust me, Mike, I saw this one ad they did, and I was like, oh, if Obama could just be like, you snow hoe, listen, don't come at me like that. But I know he can't do that. But it's really, really hard. It's so hard because...
Well, let me ask you this, Shonda. What then went on in the mind of Barack Obama and his advisors, a number of whom I'm sure were white, when they sat down prior to his declaring he was going to be a candidate? What did they talk about when they said, how are we going to handle the angry black man angle? How are we going to handle Barack being genuinely pissed off about certain things? How are we going to? Didn't anyone sit down and come up with a strategy on how to overcome this?
I don't know. You would think that they would have all angles covered because this is not just some election. This is probably one of the most important elections in the history of our modern country.
Sure, sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And all this old messing around stuff.
But how could this have not come up? This topic of how Barack would handle personal attacks like what they're doing now. McCain has gone completely in the gutter talking about Barack Obama wants to teach sex education to five-year-olds. I mean, that is so far removed from the truth as to make it just, I don't know, Martian gibberish. But
they probably wasn't banking on McCain bringing in some chick from Alaska that was like a former beauty queen. I mean, she's pretty, but damn, I don't need her sitting second in command, and she doesn't even have a concept of how Fannie and Freddie work. Fannie and Freddie are not the two chicks at the bingo parlor, man. Come on, you need to know what's going on. And she's not. And the crazy part, Mike, oh, it just drives me so insane when I saw the polls and they were running neck and neck. Mm-hmm. Just what, 2 weeks ago, Barack was coming up and it was like, oh, McCain, you know, he gonna need to go sit down somewhere.
Right.
And,
right.
And now they see the snow lady, and she's just, like, fooling them. And they going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe because they don't want to vote for a black man because it's just too hard. So, I'm just like, you know, when a year from now y'all in Walmart fighting over 99-cent hot dogs, just remember who you voted for.
That's right.
Remember who you voted for. Your pride wouldn't let you vote for the person that was going to do it.
Or,
like,
or maybe not pride, maybe just total ignorance, maybe just this awful fear that a vote against Palin will be a vote against God's will. That's how deep it's gotten, and that's the part that is choking me to death. LaShonda, I got to leave it there, right?
All right, Mike, y'all take care.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Oh, man. Steve is calling from Philly, listening on Sirius. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mike. A couple of things, if you'll allow me. First,
sure.
Why isn't Obama, if you think he could possibly benefit by this, why aren't we hearing him being interviewed semi-regularly or even regularly on shows like yours or Tom Hartman's?
Barack? Obama?
Yeah.
He doesn't understand, as most politicians don't, the importance of appearing on liberal talk shows. They just don't get it. I can remember a conference that we had about 5 years ago before Air America in D.C., where there were about five of us liberal talk show hosts. And Biden was one of the people, one of the senators, along with Kennedy, along with Harry Reid. This is before the Democrats got the majority. And we had a series of meetings with those people. Rhodes talks about it all the time. And we told them it is absolutely critical. Two things: that every time a camera is near you, you should start pointing out the lies of the Bush administration. That's A. Here's B. You should make yourself available on liberal talk shows, what few there are, constantly, because that's how you reach the people who are waiting to hear you. And you know what kind of reaction we got? Blank They don't get it. So, you know, we've put out feelers to the Obama campaign. We put out feelers to the Clinton campaign. What we get back is dead silence.
Mike, I'm sorry to hear that because it's necessary. Do you think, and I hate to even throw this out because I never wanted Hillary, but do you think it's possible that Obama could jettison Biden, go for Hillary? And would that make a difference?
No, the Republicans would eat that alive. The Republicans would just slice and dice that entire idea. Everybody in America should have listened to Bart Kopp when Bart Kopp was trying to make the point to people like me that this was a life and death struggle and that Hillary Clinton would probably be the one who would show up at the knife fight with a handgun. Barack Obama obviously is not going to do that. So if you look at this election, as LaShonda pointed out, is one of the most crucial or critical in modern times. And if you look at Barack Obama's laid-back style and the viciousness of the Republicans, I think you can see the outcome. So based on that and that alone, I think Bart Kopp may have been right.
Hey, Mike, one last thing. I did see you on CNN yesterday, and I didn't see you today. Do you think that's ever going to work? You know, because no right-wing pundit is ever or has ever said, you know, you got a good point. I didn't think of that.
No.
They never come around.
No.
They're always going to stand by whatever it is that they're there to talk about.
Right, right, exactly. Well, as far as the CNN thing is concerned, what we've been told by, what's his name? Rick Sanchez. God, I've got too many names sort of in my head. Rick Sanchez, producer. We did Monday. And not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, because they're waiting for Neil Bortz to come back from wherever he's gone. And I think the plan is to have us do it daily, but they want Bortz and me. And I'm really, really, really thinking about this. I don't like Neil Bortz. I don't like his position. And I question whether or not I could sit on a set with him 5 days a week. So I may pass on this altogether. I like Rick as a person. I wish him the best on CNN, and I'm, you know, I may do this, but it just depends on whether or not how much of Neil Bortz I can stomach, because I just truly do not like the guy. I just don't like him. That twit they had me on with on Monday, whatever her name was. What was her name, Kathy? I don't know. She's from a small town north of Atlanta, does a radio talk show, and you know, it was almost like being on the set by myself. Bortz is a different story altogether. Bortz is a racist. Bortz is a so-called libertarian. Bortz likes to play grab ass with Sean Hannity. I don't know. I'm giving this a lot of serious thought. Sanchez and I think, are going to have lunch together and talk about this, but I've got my doubts right now. All right. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Clever people wouldn't even try. If you want a place in the history books, then do something dumb before you die. Nobility are famous for no reason. Mary Antoinette enjoyed her cake. She caused a revolution when she would not share, and her husband lost his head for that mistake. The Hindenburg was a giant Zeppelin. Its makers made a minor oversight. Before they filled it up with explosive gas, they should have fixed the no-smoking light. History is made by stupid people.
Ten before the hour, thanks to our technical crew, Ian Huff, Billy Foster, and Ben Birch. And also our non-technical crew, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, and Bridget Wolf for the program. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Back to your phone calls. Valerie is calling from the Bronx in New York, listening on the Internet. Valerie, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I saw this coming even during the primary, because basically the two, I mean, I'm not saying I don't like Hillary, but the two weakest were left, and I saw, you know, no really good outcome. Now, also, it's like every election. Now he's a black man. Two other election cycles, it was something else, because people, like, they're distracted by shiny objects.
Yeah.
They're dumb, knuckle-dragging people. I'm in New York. I'm sorry. I'm prejudiced. The people are stupid. I'm not running for anything, so I really don't care. I just don't care. I'm 53 years old. I'm going to say what I feel. They're stupid. Now you're going to know when you're fighting over a Happy Meal and Mickey D's in a year from now, trying to feed your kid off of a hamburger, you're going to know that. And in 6 months, the people are going to lose their house and will be living in their car. Okay, trust me.
Oh,
I'm a black woman, so I know how to survive under anybody. I told myself that now you have to be like the French people. No matter who's in office, you got to fight for your life. That's you got true. To make people terrified. You understand me?
I do.
You got to make your government terrified. People need to get up. You need to fight for your life. And no, people don't know how to fight. Now, I'm not trying to, I understand where Brother Barack is coming from, because I understand his situation. But you should have thought about that before you ran.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay? Yeah, right. I'm not trying to say he has no right to run. I don't know what he has up his sleeve, but they got a whole bunch of evidence on this Palin that needs to come out now. Now, his girlfriend's a whack job. Okay? We all know that. I don't care. She's a whack job.
She is.
Okay?
Absolutely.
Anybody that I've had a child, and anybody who's going to get on the plane, see, I think some of that is a little bit BS. I cannot see any airline taking liability for that. That needs to be thoroughly checked. But I'm
you mean you're talking about her story
about that whole thing with the special needs baby getting on the airplane,
her
water break and all
right.
that. You know, that's a lot of BS.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the American people, if it's not one thing, like my mom used to say, it's always something else. Because now he's a black man, two other election cycles, what was the excuse then? And it's going to be like that. The people, you know, it's always something else. They always vote against their best interest. They're always distracted by stupid, stupid things. If you don't like abortion, don't have one. If you don't like gay people, don't marry one. And mind your business.
I hear you.
That's all I got to say.
All right, Valerie, thanks.
Good evening.
All right, stay in touch. Stay in touch,
okay.
Valerie. All right, take care. Marge is calling from Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Oh, yoy. I heard on the news tonight, believe it or not, the regular news, that McCain is threatening to sue Obama because on one of his stump speeches, Obama said something about, you know, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. And if you wrap a fish in paper, it still stinks and it's not changed. But the lawsuit that I want the news to start talking about is King Lincoln Bronzeville v. Blackwell in the state of Ohio.
All right.
That's about the voting fraud that's been going on. That's the one that's got to get to the top of the press. That's the one that's got to be reported.
Can I offer a mild correction? Because I've been correct on this. We are not to call it voter fraud. We're to call it election fraud.
Excuse me, election fraud.
Right. That's I've been corrected on that a couple of times, and I understand the difference. Voter fraud means somebody tried to cheat in voting. Election fraud means
they cheated in counting.
They cheated us. So it's election fraud.
It's election fraud.
Right.
But that is the lawsuit that I want to see on the front page of every bloody damn newspaper. Besides that, I am still so royally pissed about the non-reporting of the what happened to Amy Goodson or Goodman. What's her name?
Goodman, yes.
Goodman in St. Paul. The only place I saw that reported was on Now with David Brancaccio. That's PBS.org.
Right.
It was this past weekend. No place else did they even mention it. And, you know, the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. Well, by God, it sure doesn't seem to stop these corporations. Liberal media, my...
Fanny.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I trust me, I understand what you're saying, Marge. I understand.
You know, what we got to get, you know, down and dirty, take the gloves off, it's a street fight. And we got to come screaming at them. Because, you know, Karl Rove has still got his glorious little hand in this.
Oh, my God, yes. His disciples, and that's what I mean, his disciples are now entrenched in the McCain campaign. That's the reason you saw, or I don't know if you've seen it yet, the ad that suggests that when Barack Obama was in the Illinois Senate, he tried to pass a bill that would teach sex education to five-year-olds.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, that's Karl Rove.
Actually, what the bill was, it was something about...
Oh, no, we covered it tonight. We covered it tonight.
Okay, it had... All right.
It was teaching children about how to say no to improper touching, how to protect themselves against child predators. But these filthy, disgusting Republicans, and this is where Karl Rove's genius comes in, and he's a sick SOB, but he is...
Among other things.
He is a political genius. He knows how stupid... we Americans are, how easily jerked around we are, how ignorant we are, and he knows, just like they knew about the Willie Horton story, they know how to manipulate us. Hey, listen, Marge, I got to leave it there. Thanks.
Okay, well, take care.
All right, you too. Thanks, Marge. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, my God. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.